If you have your Bibles, you would open to Luke chapter 15. That's where I'll be taking our text tonight. It's very, very familiar. But I tell you what, I don't get tired of hearing the same song. Y'all not here get tired of hearing the same scripture. Amen. Let me tell you a little something. You know, some folks here, I guess, already know. I'm a cop up in Franklin County. I work for the sheriff's office as a deputy sheriff. I'm on the SWAT team. I'm assigned to the U.S. Marshals Task Force. I've been blessed to work undercover. I bought drugs for a while. Try explain that to your kids when they're little. Dad buys drugs for a living. It's kind of crazy, I know. But we did it in an investigative effort. I wasn't using them. I was just buying them for evidence. I promise. I'm in church. I can't lie. Well, hold on. I shouldn't lie. Excuse me. I shouldn't lie. Some of you know that. Well, anyways, let's keep going. So, I love God's people. Y'all got the best sense of humor ever. Amen. Listen, I got to work in a lot of different places. I was working undercover one time, a long time ago. It's been years. And then from that time, I moved on. I remember I had moved on. I was working on patrol, and I'd actually joined up with our SWAT team. Now, let's go ahead and do a disclaimer here. I'm not a shopper. I know it looks like I might be a shopper, but let me go ahead and surprise you. I'm not a shopper. I hate shopping. I'm a driven shopper. It's a purpose-driven thing. If I'm going out of the house to any type of shopping, it's for a reason. I promise you. This time I found myself at a Home Depot up in Grove City. Give me a second here. This is going to make sense when we tie it all together. It was a Home Depot, and I remember I was talking. I got a twin brother. He's almost as good looking as me. He's on. Some of you have seen him at Revival. So, you know, maybe I might have stretched the truth earlier. He's better looking than I. I'm on the phone with my twin brother, and I remember I'm walking through the section of tiles and flooring. And I remember I'm talking to my brother on the phone there, and as I'm walking through, I notice this lady is paralleling me in the aisles. A lady now. Mid-40s, maybe mid to late 40s lady. And she ain't just looking at me. I ain't much to look at. Every now and then I do get looked at, though. As I'm kidding, relax. I'm walking through, and as I'm looking down the aisle, I'm on the phone with my twin brother, and as I pass by every opening, there's this lady, and it's kind of creepy. She's looking at me and studying me. Now I'm thinking, what is this about? So I'm talking to my brother, and as we get to about the fourth or fifth aisle, this has went from coincidental to intentional. She's purposely stalking me. So it seems. I'm on the phone with my brother, and I say, hey, Jeremy, let me let you go. It might get real tactical here real soon. Because I know evil comes in all shapes and sizes. Yeah, that's right. I'm always prepared. My backups got backups, you know what I mean? I'm ready to go. So I get off the phone with him, and I lost track of her. And as I turned to the next aisle, I remember this aisle was closets and things like storage towards the back before you get to the blinds and stuff. I know this stuff because I'm married also. Husbands, nod your heads. How many blinds have we hung up? And as I get by, I notice I lost her down the aisle. I thought, okay, great. Well, she's gone. And I turned around, and there she was right in my face. Close. Not like in my space, but close. I could have reacted still. Like, you know, if I needed to. So there she is, real close, close enough that I'm concerned. And she, when she catches my attention, she says, do you know who I am? And when she said that, I did. I recognized her face. I don't forget faces, but I never remember names. I'm sorry. Faces I never forget. I always remember faces. But this one was different. I remembered her because it was specific. She said, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. You are so-and-so's mom. I said a name. I got to protect the innocent here. I said, you are so-and-so's mom. And when I said that, she began to cry. And she began to cry. And she took me back a few years. I remembered a few years prior to that, I was actually set up on a surveillance of a drug deal that we knew this fella was on his bicycle running heroin down on the west side, the hilltop area of Warren Avenue. And we knew that he was just going back and forth behind the market there at Warren and Sullivan. And we had set up to where we could keep an eye on him. And sure enough, this, I'll never forget it because it's when they first came out, the Honda Vibe. Anybody know what that is? It's an ugly car. Sorry if you got one. It's just trade it in, get you a truck. They ain't no count. Because I remember what a funky looking ride this was, and it come up, and here come our drug dealer on a bicycle. And this drug dealer shows up, and he pulls up next to that, right in the alley behind this market. And we're on the radio, we're marking, all right, let's swoop him up. And we swooped him up real quick. It's funny, because I get the guy in the car at gunpoint. My partner swings around the front, and the guy on the bicycle is trying to pedal, and he kicks the back of the bike. Like, he ain't never, honestly, my partner ain't never done nothing real manly in his life. So this shocked me. He kicks his bike perfectly. The guy goes head over heels over the handlebars. Perfect. Laid out. And there he is at gunpoint. You know, on the ground, you know, hands behind your back, that kind of thing. You know, cool cop stuff that we do. And I thought, I'm looking at him flip over. I'm like, man, that was awesome. I can't believe Nate did that. And I look over here at this fella. It's a young guy, maybe 20 years old-ish. And I'm like, all right, pal, keep your hands where I see him. Turn the car off. He turns it off. I blocked him in with my car. I said, all right, now slowly step out. And he steps out. When he steps out, I'm like, this boy's like 6'7". I said, and you know what? Now remember, I told you he's on a Honda Vibe. My first thought was, how did you fold up inside of that car? I mean, how's that even possible? But he did somehow. Long story short, ran him. He never had a record. He'd never been arrested before. He was from my area in Grove City, not too far from where I live. And I remember talking with him. He was clean on his record, but he had started using heroin. And as I talked with him, I gave this guy an opportunity that I gave a lot of people. When they didn't have any kind of record, they didn't have anything going on, I told him, I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He began doing what all these fresh users would say. They would say, I want to quit so bad. And I'd say, dude, you really want to quit? Yeah, I want to quit. All right, well, then here's how we're going to do it. You're going to give me every contact of every drug dealer that you got, and we're going to set them up right now, and I'm going to throw them all in jail so you couldn't buy dope if you wanted to. How's that sound? He said, okay, let's do it. I let him go on to his house. I set up a meeting with him over at the intersection of Southwest Boulevard and 62 in Grove City at a gas station. I pulled up. When I pulled up, I seen he was there, but he was not alone. He had an older woman and an older gentleman with him that looked like they might be his parents. Well, I am a detective. It was his folks, and I showed up, and I remember pulling up, and the first thing I said to him was, I said, do you know what the meaning of confidential informant is? It means you don't tell nobody, son. He said, well, I've been getting in trouble a lot at home. And I've been lying to my parents for the last 5 or 6 months while I've been doing drugs. And they didn't believe me when I said, I'm actually trying to do this to keep from going to jail, Mom. So here come Mom. She said, is it true? I said, I'm not really supposed to talk to you much, ma'am. But yes. And I said, no, if you let me do my job, I'm going to take care of him. Okay. She leaves. He gets in the car. We do what we need to do, long story short. When we get done, I take him back to his house. I'd stepped into the doorway there because his mom and dad wanted to talk to me again, make sure it was still on the up and up and everything was going to be satisfied. He wasn't going to be in trouble anymore. When I looked inside the house, I saw a cross hanging on the wall. And as he stood in the doorway, I looked up at him because he has to duck to walk in. I said, hey, boy, is that for real? Or is that just decoration? He said, my whole family's in church. I've been raised in church. I was on scholarship to play basketball down at Rio Grande. And I started getting hooked on drugs because I had a surgery and I started taking pain medicine from my knee surgery. And I got hooked on these pills and it drug me down a path for the last few months. I've been using heroin. And I said, well, we just burn off every drug dealer that you've got. And he said, I'm not going to do anything like this anymore. I'm going to get back in school. And I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to start going to church. I heard that before. But I'm saying this because when I seen her, This was about 4 years after the fact. And I flash back to when that happened and when that had occurred. And she's got tears coming down her eyes. And she said, I just want to tell you that my boy went back to school. He finished and he graduated 2 years ago. He's got a good job. He's engaged to be married. He got engaged. He's now married and they have their first child on the way. He's completely drug free. And I said, let me ask you something. I said, because that's great. Let me ask you something. I said, is he going to church? She said, well, yeah. And I want to tell you that I thank the Lord for you. And I wondered if I'd ever see you ever again. And this is why she said, I know that you saw me looking at you. And I know that you saw me tracking you down. And the reason why is because I just wanted to tell you thanks. Now, I had offered this to many people. And I don't know, maybe somebody got right. Maybe somebody got clean. But there's one I know I did. There's one I know for sure I actually got to help. And this is why I'm saying this. Every single bit of it was worth it for one. It was worth it for one is what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. It's all worth it. If it's just one. And here in chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, starting in verse number 8, this is what Jesus has to say. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. I want to preach tonight on all for one. It's all worth it if it's just one. I didn't come up with that. Jesus did. He showed it time and time again when he went through Jericho for one who was up in a tree named Zacchaeus. He showed it when he crossed the sea over to the Gadarenes for the one who had been possessed with many. And he showed it for one whenever he went to Samaria for the one woman. And if for nothing else, how about this? When he hung on the cross of Calvary, when the one on the left was railing on him, saying, if you are who you say you are, you come down and save all of us. Save yourself. But ain't you glad for the one on the right? Said, hey, I know you are the Son of God. And when you come into your glory, into your kingdom, will you just remember me? I believe that if God had decided to wrap it up right there, everything, the suffering, the pain, the shame, everything that Jesus Christ had went through, it was worth it just for the one. The reason why I believe that and why I feel that way is because I'm just one. I'm just one. You know, I can't speak on your behalf. I can't speak for you. I can't speak for my wife and my kids. I can speak for myself and say, I know that He did it. And He did it all just for me. You may be able to fool somebody. You might be able to fool me. But hey, you know whether or not He done it for one. It says here that she said, this is sandwiched right in between the parable of the lost sheep. Where he would pose the question to the scribes and the Pharisees who was trying to get him going, trying to antagonize him, trying to say things of the nature of, well, you hang out with sinners. Well, I praise God, Jesus hangs out with sinners. If you say, hey, I don't know why he'd hang out with sinners. Well, you was a sinner. He hung out with you for just a short amount of time. Hey, can I remind you? It ain't long when sinners hang out with Jesus. They don't stay sinners. They get saved, praise God. Hallelujah. Reason why folks don't get saved because they don't want to hang around Jesus. You hang around Jesus, not only will you get saved, He'll sanctify you. He'll make you ready to go to heaven. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what else He'll do. He'll treat you like this coin. See, this coin was of significance. When women get married in the day, you know, they didn't have rings like us. I got my ring on. Normally, I don't wear a ring often. It actually messes with me a lot whenever I'm shooting and things like that. So I don't normally wear a ring. I wore it tonight. I didn't want to get in trouble. I got my wife back here. I say I don't have to wear a ring, honestly, because I'm such a loudmouth. I let everybody know I'm married. I say it just like this. If you see that I'm actually matching, that's because I'm married. Yeah, my shirt and tie look good. Hey, that's because I'm married. Amen. So anyways, listen. When a woman would get married in this time, she'd have a headband made out of these coins. And what would happen is that it would be it had to be completely intact when she'd wear it. And it was signifying and identifying this lady that she was already with another. Here's why I'm saying that. It was such an importance, and the purpose of this coin was of such importance because it identified that woman as off the market, so to speak. She's not available. You know what I'd like for God's people to actually announce to the world and to Satan himself? Hey, I'm not available right now. Hey, I've already been a spouse. I'm already hooked up with one. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you take a look at my forehead, you'd see I'm not available. The problem is that we flirt around with the world so much, we flirt around with the devil so much, there's mixed signals and crossways where he can't tell, hey, are you identifying with Christ or not? Because if you're saying you're a Christian, you're identifying with Christ. And can I tell you, he's identified by you. Whenever you say whatever you say, people are saying, well, that must be what Christ says, because they're a Christian. Yeah, swallow that down real hard. Wherever you walk and wherever you go, you saying you're a Christian, you know what people will say? Well, Christ must want to walk there because they're Christ. When they see you, they see Christ. Hey, they better. Hey, right? Hey, man, they better. That coin had a purpose of identifying who you're with. And the fact that you ain't available, you ain't flirting around no more. It also showed that, see, each one of these silver coins, if I've read it correctly, each coin was about the sum of a day's pay. And it says here she had 10. So that tells you right there, she wasn't crazy rich by any means. And if I read it correctly, what it says is that the more coins they have shows the more wealth that they have. And that some headbands would almost look like a complete skull cap. I've seen some pictures. And some of them was very well endowed with a lot of silver coins. Some of them were endowed with gold coins, signifying they had so much more. But here's the purpose behind the completion of the 10 and why it was so important to find the one. Because if there was a spot for one within that 10 and it's gone, it's letting somebody know that you were just a little bit indigent and you needed something. What's the purpose? Well, let me tell you why. If God is perfect, and his love is perfect, and when somebody sees him, and he sees something's missing out of his presence, out of his family. Listen, in the appearance of Christ, if one thing is out of place, then he ain't God. He needed something. Why is that so important? Here's why. If you're not where you need to be, it's not a completion. It's so important they have to get it back because it showed complete and total satisfaction. Meaning that no matter what happens, I'm still satisfied. I don't need what the world's got. I'm not going looking for another man because I'm in a relationship. And I'm obviously not wanting anything because here's the display of my complete and total satisfaction. I don't need anything else. What does that mean? Well, it also means on top of the fact that God's still complete and God's still perfect and our relationship is still intact. I'm still identifying with him. What it also says is what God's people need to say to the world right now. I don't need what you've got. Listen, hey, God's people was hungry in the wilderness and he fed them fresh manna from heaven every single day. They got thirsty and cried out and he hit the rock. And even then he still gave them water to drink. And I'm telling you, he gave them temporary dwellings in these tents all the while and they were satisfied. Why? Because they knew it was not their home. They were promised something better. I tell you why we need to stay in the headband. It's because this world is not our home. We're only passing through. Why can we be satisfied knowing the sufferings that we have? Because we know it's for a little while. And then one day, there'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. Praise God. We'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We'll be able to thank him face to face. That's why we stay in it. if something was missing, if that coin is gone. Here's the way it would work, that if you owed anybody money, tax collectors even, no matter how far a debt you was in, they could come in your house. The Fourth Amendment wasn't really around back then. They'd come, if you owed somebody money, they'd come in and start looking around. You know the story of the woman. She had nothing. They ended up sending her sons out to gather up all the jars. The next thing you know, because of the prophet, all of a sudden it was full of oil. And then she had plenty. How? Why? Because she knew they'd come and they'd take her kids and put them to work. So at this time, they could come in, check everywhere. They'd go in, search all your little nooks and crannies of your house trying to find any money. But because she's wearing the headband of the coins, knowing she owes money, those coins that are on her headband, they could not touch it. They were not allowed to take it. If one was to come off and to be found somewhere, not on the headband, it's open season on that coin. Why is that so significant? Well, if you ain't in the headband of Christ, somebody could come collecting your debt. Everybody look right up here and listen right now. Every single one of us has a debt that cannot be paid by us. And there's one who, since the very beginning in the garden, when there was the fall of man, has been reaping everything, every soul, every person, every life. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you think for a second that a piece of silver falls away from the headband of Christ and it hits the ground, he ain't got somebody, some evil spirit, some demoniac, something listening for when you fall so he can swoop you up, you're wrong. He'll try his best to gather you up. The only time that you are even, it's even possible that you are subject to any type of real true temptations or any problems from the devil is when you get away from Jesus. Start your day at the cross. Start your day at the cross. You ain't going to find, the devil ain't, hey, he ain't trying to hang around there. That was the beginning of his end. Why is that so important? Because if you fall away, if you fall away from the headband, if that coin was gone, now we see the purpose for it. But ain't you glad that he had a plan already put in place? It says here in verse number 8, if she lose the one piece, she doth light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it. Here's the plan as it unfolds. The homes in this time, now we already know she ain't got great wealth. The majority of the homes back then didn't have windows. They just had a door. So I'm led to believe that if she's going to strike up the match and light up the lamp, she's going to close the door. Because if any of you ever went and looked for anything in the dark, you want it completely dark so that there's only one light source. If there's other lights out there that could catch the reflection off of anything, you're not going to be able to find something as easy as you would if there's just one light source. The problem with this dark light or this darkness and the lights in this day and age, there's a whole lot of manufactured lights out there. There's a whole lot of fake lights that's going on that's getting the glint off of you, that's causing some attention. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in the little bit of the glitter and the little bit of the glamour of the fake lights, but you know the real true light is Jesus Christ. He is the only true light. But ain't you glad? He said, I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to go out into the darkness, but I'm going to light a light. I'm going to light a lamp. I thought about the darkness, and all I keep thinking about is I know where God found me. I know where He found me. No matter how young or how old, if you're in sin, it's the darkest place that you'll ever be. But it says that He went beyond just lighting the lamp. Can I tell you, Jesus is the light without ever having to do anything. But He goes a step further. He grabs the broom and He starts sweeping. Now we know that she wasn't very well to do, and the small house that she had probably had a dirt floor. So here she goes about with the light and just starts stirring up the dust. And I'm sitting here thinking, not only Do I know it was dark where he found me? I also know, boy, I was awful dirty when he found me. I know the Bible's clear when he says that he pulled me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. What kind of clay? Listen, that miry clay is that sticking to you kind of clay, that gunky kind of clay that just wants to cling to you. Listen, I know when he picked me up, he didn't make no mistakes and say, well, I didn't clean off this part, and I didn't clean off. Listen, I wasn't shining like I'm going to shine when I get to heaven. But mark this down. Lose the excuse. You was cleaned up when he found you. Hey, listen, you say, I didn't know I was supposed to go to church. There's something inside of you, the Spirit that bears witness within itself, that draws you to church. So hush that. Amen. I didn't know I was supposed to read my Bible. Whatever. You're going to try and tell me you just fell in love with somebody and you ain't wanting to get to know him? Lie to somebody who'll believe it. Try to tell, well, I didn't know I was supposed to keep praying, not supposed to be good. Hush that. Listen, I'm telling you, if you've got a relationship rather than religion, you'll know what's right and what's wrong. Don't tell me you're supposed to be a little bit dusty, a little bit dirty. God didn't make no mistakes. When he saved me, he saved me. He's not saving me. He saved me. He ain't working on me for salvation. He's working on me to be a reflection of him. But I'm saved. Bless God, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. So not only in the darkness, but in the dirt. But here's what I thought was so peculiar about this situation. This wasn't out in the world. This was right in the dwelling place. Right in the home. You know what that caused me to start thinking about? God's house. Now listen, he talked about the wandering, leaving the fold and the sheep of the shepherd. And he talked about in the end here, the prodigal choosing to walk away, grab his inheritance. Say, I'm going to do it on my own. And walk away. But sandwiched right here in the middle of it, he was talking about losing one. Lost. Hey, listen now. Listen. Lost. Right inside the house. Right inside the house. You sit there and you think about right in God's house, somebody be lost. That's right. Hey, right in God's house, somebody that was on the headband falling out. Sad, but true. So the message is still this. He did it all for one. He goes on, and he's searching, and he diligently searches until he finds it. And look, this is the best part. We know there was the purpose. We know, praise God, he had a plan. But look here what happens. Even Jesus himself is showing in a reflection of this woman. Praise. What happens here? Verse number 9. When he found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together. Listen, I like this part. I know Jesus is satisfied and happy when he found me. But you know, he's bubbling up so much, it ain't enough just for him. He says, hey, friends, hey, neighbors, gather around. Why? Because what was lost is now found. Later on, at the end of the chapter, he'd say, what was dead is now alive. Praise God. When he said, rejoice, he's saying, not just me, everybody rejoice with me. Later on here, verse number 10, it says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Praise God. I say, if I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but I fall away, have I not become a sinner again? And I need to repent. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. And repent to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because when you do, he will pick you up right there out of the dirt. Listen, you think for a second. It says she picked it up and left it the way she found it. Nope, no, hey, come on now. See, you gonna try to tell me there wasn't a cloud of dust kicked up when she was a sweep and diligently trying to find it. But when the light of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ himself, just got a little glimmer, I believe she dove right there on that coin. Picked it up and spit on it, polished it right up, looked it up, and put it right back where it belonged. And then immediately, not with embarrassment, didn't go out of the house saying, well, I ain't going to tell anybody that happened. Huh? She didn't go out like, well, nobody saw that, so I ain't going to tell them. But no. Let me tell you about a humble saint of God. Let me tell you about the true example that is Jesus Christ. He knows we need Him. He knows we can't do nothing without Him. And He knows. He knows. That's why He told us in His Word. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And why? Because He knows. He knows. Right in His house. He can lose one right out of the headband. He can lose a coin right out of the headband. But that ain't you glad when He finds you. He rejoices. Not just Him. Just like that it says, the angels rejoice with Him. Well, praise God, we went far enough. Why don't we come and get a song of invitation? Thinking about this. He did it all for one. All for one. Could have said, well, I've got nine others. That's all right. Could have said, well, it's been good up to this point. It's lasted this long. I should have known I'd lose one. Ain't you got what Jesus said, though, when He said to the Father when He was praying, He said, I've kept them all. Every one that You've given me, Father, I've kept them all, except the one that was a devil from birth. And he had his purpose in life, and that was to betray Jesus Christ. A devil from birth. You ain't no devil from birth. You're a soul, a precious soul. And some of you have been coins in the headband of Christ. And some of you have been lost right here in the house. Some of you maybe never even been a coin. Can I tell you, He's looking for you. Can I go ahead and just put this disclaimer on it? You ain't going to find Him. Jesus ain't lost. He'll find you. He'll find you. He's going to stick His arm out with that broom and start sweeping here in a moment. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping you'll let Him uncover you. I'm hoping you'll let Him just clean you up and clean you off. I'm hoping you'll let Him just spit shine you right up and put you right in the headband of Christ. That's what I'm hoping, because I've gone as far as I can go. But I've got a God in heaven, hey, who promised us through the prayer of Jesus Christ, a Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit as a comforter, hey, and guiding you right here and now. The tug that's pulling on you, saying you need to come to Christ, that's His Holy Spirit.